All of the shiurim for the past few years, really to try to prepare a little bit for what we're going to be doing over the next school for the next period of time in halacha, which is going to be very hard to hear, but very important to hear. And we're going to try to learn the halachas in a thorough way. And following that, we'll be able to then return and go to the beginning, the shorish of all of this, which is understanding the midah of yesod, of what is yesod, why is this such a big deal, this whole thing of kedushas habris, like what's the big deal with kedushas habris, what is that? To understand what yesod is, the midah of yesod, kedushas habris, and along the way to talk about practical things that we could do to make things stronger and better, and to help our kids and ourselves and so on, and to mitzvah Hashem, to become better Jews. I think that's what we all want to do, to be better Jews. Hashem. So let's learn this tiny piece in the Ishbitzah. Let me give you a little background. This is the Mashloch in Parshas Noso. You know, every piece from the Mashloch is mamakim, mamakim, mamish. Let me just give you a little bit of background, what he's talking about here. The Tzaddik is talking about a din in the Torah, in Parshas Noso, that we don't really relate to. It's not something that comes up regularly. It's the din of Hagoyzel Asager She'en Lo Yarsha. It's interesting what the Torah has chosen to highlight. There are certain things that the Torah highlights. This is one of the dinim that the Torah highlights. And we'll see in a few minutes, not only does it highlight, but the Torah reveals to us that the whole world of tshuva somehow is funneled through this interesting din. What's Hagoyzel Zager Shein Lo Yarsha? You understand, somebody steals Lo Aleinu, somebody steals from a ger. This ger doesn't have, he's a convert, he doesn't have any family, there's nothing, you know, he's a new person, and he doesn't have any, even any, he doesn't have anything from his past, and he wasn't zaycheh to have any children, anybody to receive a Yerusha. So he's nebuch a ger without any family from before, because he's a ger, so to speak. I mean, he has his non-Jewish family, but he doesn't have any halachic family from before. And he doesn't have any Yarshim, and there's nobody to receive from him his Yerusha. And somebody stole from this ger. And not only did he steal from this ger, but he was nishba l'sheker. The ganav, the gazlan, swore falsely that he never stole. Now, in the meantime, this ger, this convert, dies. And now the gazlan is maida. At some point, the gazlan comes and he admits that I stole from the ger that died. So what are you going to do with this money? So the guy has the money. The guy has the money that he stole, and he wants to return it because he wants to do tshuva. But he's returning it to who? The ger there is nobody. So the Torah tells us an interesting thing. The Torah says that he brings the Karen plus an added chaymish, and he gives it to the Kohen. Goes to the Kohen. I know we're not going to go into all the details of how it works, but he gives this money to the Kohen. That's the din that the Torah is talking about. So let's learn a little bit from the Ishbitzer. He says something very, very remarkable here. And it's very important to remind ourselves of this before we begin learning the halachas, and as we continue on through these very, very challenging dinim in this inyan that we're learning, the sugya of Kedushas Habris. We're talking about somebody, the Rebbe says, we're talking about a person who when he wakes up one morning, He realizes that he did something that's absolutely irreparable, because he stole from this poor ger, this guy he stole from. There's no way for him to repair this, because the ger doesn't have any. He doesn't have any yarsha. He doesn't have any children, and he doesn't have any past. He has nobody now. So the gazlan doesn't have any way to fix what he did wrong in his life. And he wants to fix it, but there's no way really for him to fix it. So the Rebbe says the following: Inyan Gezel Hager. Moira al Chait Shinira Be'ine B'nei Adam She'ein Shuva Mo'el. The Yishbitzah says the Torah here is revealing that there are certain things when a person looks at his life. There are things that he sees in his past and his life where it seems that it's just not possible for him to do tshuva. People that he's hurt that he can no longer speak to. Things that he's done wrong that he doesn't know how to fix or whether they can be fixed. So the Yishbitzah sees this parish of Gezel Ager as not just being one particular very, very little minute technicality in halacha, but is talking about a huge category of Jews. A huge category of Jews that consists of people who believe that they have no possible takana in life. That they just can't fix what they messed up. And the Rebbe says, she'ein tshuva, there are certain things that not only do you feel that you can't fix, but there are certain things that the Torah has revealed to us that they're beyond repair. Next page. Now what he's referring to, he doesn't spell it out, but what he's referring to is what it says in the Zohar Kodesh about Pagam HaBris, about damaging the bris, about a person spilling seed. Shichva Zer. And we're going to begin in Shulchan Aruch in a few minutes with this halacha. It's one of the many places in Shulchan Aruch where you see the Mekubal of the Beis Yosef as the Mekubal emerging in halacha. There are many places like that in Shulchan Aruch. Everybody knows that the Beis Yosef was a huge Mekubal from that world of Tzfas, of the Ramak, and then afterwards was the Arizal, but the Ramak, and that was the world of the Beis Yosef. And it's a very big subject in Torah, how was the Beis Yosef influenced in halacha by the reality that he lived in Kabbalah? And what is the influence of the Zohar Kodesh over the Shulchan Aruch? What's the influence of the Zohar Kodesh of Shulchan Aruch? The Zohar Kodesh has revealed that Pagam HaBris is an aver, is a sin that can't be repaired. It's beyond repair. It's irreparable. And there are some very, very clever teachers or rabbis out there who have never taught their students anything from the Zohar Kodesh except for that one thing that they heard of. That when it comes to Pagam HaBris, it is something which is irreparable. But of course, when they say that, they're only talking about other people's Pagam HaBris, not their own. The Zohar says that it doesn't have a takana. Umlamina Kosef Kan, the Yishbitzah says that the Torah is teaching us over here, She'ein locha dover sha'im b'bifnei ha'tshuva. it's not possible. Not that Rabbi Shimon Chalila is wrong. We're going to learn more and more about what Rabbi Shimon was doing. The Ishbitz alludes to it over here at the end. But there can't be, because Ein lo chadovish sha'im b'fnei tshuva. Ein lo chadovish sha'im b'fnei tshuva, because there's no such thing that the doors of tshuva are shut and closed, and that a person cannot be taken back by Hashem, that a person cannot fix something. It can't be. V'yesh la Hashem Yisbarach Eitzes, l'val yidach m'meno nidach. And the Baruch Shalom has Eitzes, that no Jew should be completely and utterly pushed away. And Hashem wants us to use these Eitzes, and He frightens us to see the seriousness of something which we don't see as being at the center of our lives. But He wants us to do tshuva. The same way that when it comes to Gezel Hager, when you look at the story, when you look at the situation, it's a situation that is beyond repair. It can't be fixed. There's nothing to do about it. Nir la'ayin she'en kan shum takon. Now, before we get to what he says about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, what's particularly amazing about this parasha of Gezel Hager is that the Torah says in the context of this Aveira, the pasuk that teaches us that there's a din of vidui that one has to confess to HaKadosh Baruch Hu his sins. In other words, our asham lebagadnu, our al-cheshe chatanu, the shirsh of that is from the pasuk that it says here by the parish of Gezel Hager, visvadu es chatosam asher osu. Visvadu es chatosam asher osu. That pasuk from where we learn the mitzvah of vidui, which the Rambam at the very beginning of Hilchos Teshuva, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph in Hilchos Teshuva, the Rambam brings the pasuk from Gezel Hager, where it says v'svadu eschatos ha'mashu osu. The Rambam brings this as the makar for the din midaraisa of vidui. And the Chinuch does that as well in Mitzvah Shin Samach Dalet. In other words, from this parasha of Gezel Hager, the entire sugya of tshuva grows from the Gezel Hager. From when you're learning Parshas Noso, and someone asks you, well, what are the highlights of Parshas Noso? It's the biggest parasha. So, you know, you would say the Nozir, you'd say the Sota, you would say the Levium and their jobs. I mean, it's a big parish. There's a lot of stuff. You wouldn't think offhand of Gezel Hager. It's not one of the things like the kids are going to come back from school. You remember they used to go to school. It's not like they're going to come back from Cheder Dvar Torah that Mora, a Rebbe, prepared for them was Gezel Hager. You know, it's not going to happen. It's not what you would think is one of the highlights of the parasha. When you look in the Rambam, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Nechus Shuva, V'Zvadu as Chatosam as Chosu, is the shurish of the mitzvah of Vidui, which is the completion of the process of tshuva. From this parasha of Gezel Hager. The einikel of the Mashiach of the Ishbitzer, the Tiferes Yosef, see his loshen, because all of the as you know, the Eniklach and the Meshilach, all of this Sarma to explain what the Ishbetsu was saying, what the Zaydi was saying. Tfes Yosef writes, Gezel Hager, Nidmer Laha Adam She'en Lo Shum Tikkun. Gezel Hager is a story of a person to whom it seems that there is no Tikkun. She'kol Kach Oshma Navshay, She'en Lo Chas V'Sholom Shum Tikkun. He has done something, he is guilty of something, where he doesn't know what possible way is there to fix this. Umara Hashem is barakan, she'ein shum dover ba'olam, shlo yilo tikun. And in the parsha of Gezel Hager, Hashem shows this person that there is no such thing that you cannot fix something. It cannot be. It cannot be that something is irreparable. It cannot be. Back inside the Meshiloach, Vini Kavonis Rashbi. So, like, why did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Why did he say that? So, why did he say that Pagam Habris is something that you can't fix? We'll see the exact lesson when we're learning the halachas. Why did he say such a thing? Vini Kavanas Rashbi Haya B'Sefer Zayir V'Mesh Shemachrid Es Ha'odam Kol Kach B'Chet HaYadua. That he terrified Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the Zohar wanted to terrify the male species of the Jewish people, who happen to be the part of the Jewish people that are most messed up. And Rabbi Shimon wanted, Meshamachrid es ha'odam kol kach b'cheita yedua, to terrify, to shake up a person so much, b'negeh to this chet ha'yedua. Chet ha'yedua is a code term, as you know, for Pagam HaBris, the known sin. One of the chevra from our chaverim here, who grew up in Williamsburg, said that when they were in yeshiva, nobody ever spoke to him about it. But every now and then, they played a recording of the Satmar Rebbe Shlusha crying and screaming about the chet ha'yedua, about the chet ha'yedua. And he said we all sat there, we had no idea what he was talking about. Nobody ever told us what's the chet ha'yedua. The chet ha'yedua is Pagam HaBris. So he says, in a kavanas Rashbi haye b'sefer Zohar, b'meshem machrit es ha'odam kol kach b'chet ha'yedua. So why did Rabbi Shimon scare us? He wanted to scare us. He wanted to shake everybody up. B'chet ha'yedua. K'dei she'odam yechrad v'yivas me'Hashem's bar. Because this is, in the life of a male, the greatest challenge. The greatest challenge of a Jewish man, of a Jewish young man, a Jewish male, the greatest challenge is not buying an estrig. The greatest challenge is not tefillin. It's not bir chametz. It comes as no surprise that the greatest challenge to a Jewish male is chet ha'yedua. Chet ha'yedua. I recommend that those who are listening to this shiur should be old enough to be listening to this shiur, because I see that there are children dragging around here, and I'm asking the fathers to understand that we're going to be talking about sensitive inyanim. I don't think there should be children that are not of the right age dragging around. It's not appropriate. Shkoyach. K'dei she'odam yechrod v'yivas me'Hashem Yisbarach. So since this chet ha'yedua is that which is the greatest challenge in the life of a male, And so many people have just stopped dealing with this, tending to it, trying to fix it. So Rabbi Shimon wanted to, in Kavanas Rashbi, how you be safe as Zorba Mesha Machvit, as Adam Kalkach, Becheta Yedua, Kadesha Adam Yechrad Vyivas Mashemesbach, in order to fill the person with this, with Yosh Shemai, Vyishbach Sichel of Mashemesbach, and to generate within a person a feeling of desperation, an awareness that I can't do this on my own. When it comes to many, many things of my life, chametz on Pesach, not eating, you know, a cheeseburger. When it comes to 99.999% of the other stuff, a person feels, you know, I could do this. I could do this. I could stay away from treif. I could stay away from chametz. I could overcome the taiva that I have to turn on a light on Shabbos. I could deal with all that stuff. But there's one part of a male's life that he feels, I just can't do it. And Rabbi Shimon wrote something or taught something to shake us up and to remind us that Ein lo na'amil heshoin ela alavinu shebishamayim. To know that when it comes to the core of your existence, which is the midah of yesod, you might want to run away from it. You might want to make believe that, you know, it's not really part of your life. And you'll do everything else, and this part will just be a little dark, dirty secret between you and, you know, in your computer, or you and your basement or something, or you and your girlfriend. So the Rabbi Shimon shook us up, and he said, you should know, Chevra, that this is something that you can't fix. Now, there was a great risk that Rabbi Shimon took in that. We're going to talk a lot about why he did that, because obviously that's going to cause a lot of people to say, you see, I can't fix it. So that could be the source of tremendous yayush. But the Ishbitz says over here is kedei she'odem yechrod v'yivas me'Hashem Yisbarach v'yishbach sichel lefnei Hashem Yisbarach. For the sincere and honest person, the same way he realizes that he's not able to breathe without God. And why did that guy die from corona and I didn't? And why is it that I'm breathing today and the other guy stopped breathing? That if not for Hashem Yisbarach, I wouldn't be able to take another breath. And one has to pour one's heart out in tefillah to Hashem for help. So Rabbi Shimon brought the inyan of Pagam HaBris to the center of a serious Jew's screen. He brought it back to the center. Everybody liked to keep that on the side. It's like a strange side thing. Some story about Aaron Onain, some unclear source in Chumash. Where does this come from? What exactly is this? A Dirabana? Is it Deraisa? What is this exactly? And Rabbi Shimon brought this to the center of the screen of of a Jew's life, so that he would pour his heart out before Hashem, Yuchei Godl Ad Ma'oi, to remind him, to let him know that this is a tremendous chait. Mamela Noidla, he says an amazing thing at the end. We'll come back to it maybe in 3 years from now. You have to remind me, but he says, "Umimela, noilad lahaadam simcha gedayla, kishelo ye eraloizais," so that a Jew would have an unbelievable feeling of accomplishment and joy when it doesn't happen to him, when he's overcoming it, or every single time that he wakes up and it didn't even happen by accident, or every single time that he overcomes this, he tries to be better, that he should have a tremendous simcha, a tremendous feeling of accomplishment, a tremendous joy. So, the Ishbetz is saying a few things. Number one, why is it that Davki here, by Gezel Hager, the Torah reveals the mitzvah of tshuva, in the deepest way, the mitzvah of vidui. Visvadu eschatos l'mesheros. Davke in a parasha, which seems to be talking to somebody who's beyond repair. And the Torah gives an eitzah. The Torah says, no, you give the Karen and the Chaimish, you give it to the Kohen. In other words, the Torah is saying, like my father, Olav Shalom, used to always say, is an eitzah gefin, that when you think that you have no eitzah, you have to find an eitzah. There's always a way out. There's always a way out. And ever since Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that there's no tshuva for the Chet Yiduah, the Yechidei Hadar is the greatest, greatest, and deepest, most amazing tzaddikim through the generations, have taught us eitzes of how to get out of Pgam HaBris. Eitzes of how to get out. And that there are amazing tikkunim. We already spoke about a little bit, but there are amazing, amazing tikkunim. And the whole sugi of tshuva comes or is revealed in the parasha where a person feels, I can't do tshuva. I can't do tshuva. Mishon yikachacha, mishon, davke from such a place, in yen nidachacha, b'kseh ha-shamayim, mishon yikachacha, mishon yikabetzcha, from a place where I'm beyond being fixed. And the Ishbetzah says that Rabbi Shimon wanted to terrify us so that we should be able to feel the most intense joy of our avodah and tikkun habris. And that it can't be that there's no repair. That's why this parasha of Gezel Hager is a binyan av for all situations in life where you feel that you have wasted something, you have stolen something, and there's no way to give it back. When it comes to Shechva Zer Levatala, I have wasted something in my life. I have stolen something valuable that Hashem has given, and I have wasted it on some pornography or some girl or some disgusting thing. And there's no way for that to ever, ever be brought back. There's no way for that to ever be fixed. There's no way for that to ever, ever be repaired. And over here, the Torah reveals, V'svadu eschatos l'mesheros. Like Rabbi Nachman said, that if you believe you could break something, you have to believe that you could fix it. And nobody ever talks about the oimik of what Rabbi Nachman said in that sentence. If you believe that you could break something, then you have to believe that you could fix it. And everybody knows that when Rabbi Nachman said that, he was talking about Chet HaYidua. He was talking about that one thing where everybody, even like a yeshiva bachur that doesn't know how to spell Bava Metzia, knows there's a Chet HaYidua, and somebody along the way told him that, you know, the Zohar says that you're the biggest, is the worst thing, you can't fix it. So Davki in the sugya of Gezel Hager, which is something that Alpi Teva can't be fixed, the Torah says, V'svad l'schatos m'shos. And the Ishbetzah says to know, Rabbi Shimon wanted to know, that in order to fix this, you're going to have to cry to Hashem. Rabbi Nachman said, Rabbi Nachman is the one who said that if you believe you could break something and destroy it, you have to believe you could fix it. And he is the one who gave us the Tikkun HaKlali, who revealed the sod of Tikkun HaKlali, which we're going to be spending months and months and months talking about Rabbi Nachman's Tikkun. The Tikkun HaKlali. The amazing Tikkun HaKlali, Rabbi Nachman, those Kepitlech of Tehillim. The Tikkun HaKlali, Rabbi Nachman, that we should all be Zeichim Mitzvah to say it by his sin. The Tikkun HaKlali. And Davka, that tzaddik, said, if you believe that it's possible to ruin something, you have to believe that it's possible to fix it. And he revealed a way to fix it. But it's not just saying, it's not just a matter of saying a couple of kapitel chtilim, 10 kapitel chtilim, it's a way of life. It's filled with all kinds of tikkunim. Those tikkunim are found within the kapitel chtilim. We're going to talk a lot about that in Midrashim, the tikkunim. Okay, so let's begin to learn Let's begin to learn the halachas. I started once, like a year and a half, 2 years ago, but I realized that that wasn't the time, and it wasn't the proper way of doing it. So I decided we're going to use this wonderful sefer, Mishnas HaEzer, from a Talmud Chacham by the name of Rabbi Eliyahu Ha'uzi. This is a Sfardish Yid from El Ad, who has put out so far 3 volumes on Evan HaEzer. It's like a Mishnah Brura on Evan HaEzer. It's a wonderful sefer, Mishnas HaEzer. A new chelik just came out on Hilchos Kedushin a couple of weeks ago. But the siman that we have to learn, of course, is Siman Chav Gimel. Siman Chav Gimel. Now, this Mishnah Sa'ezer has written, as you can see in front of you, is used like many, many hundreds of svarim since the time of the Mishnah Berurah that is using the format that the Chofetz Chaim set up, because it's such a fantastic way to learn, where you have the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch itself in the Ramah, which it's always important to know that what the, not to just go to these books, you have to see what the Shulchan Aruch says and the Ramah. And then you have the Mishnah Sa'ezer. Those are the conclusions of the Poskim with some of the Shitas of the Poskim. And then on some of the Halachas, you go into the Biurim, like you have the Biur Halacha in Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Ezer is like the Mishnah Berurah. The Biurim is like Biur Halacha. And then the Sharetzion is like the Sharetzion, which are the Makaris. Sometimes going into the Makaris a little bit longer, but mostly the Ikaris that we're going to be learning is the Mishnah Sa'ezer. At the beginning, we're going to learn Mishnah Sa'ezer, and we have to learn the Biurim very, very carefully. And we're going to be working on this for a couple of months, Mr. Shah. I mean, maybe not, you know, a few shiurim. I mean, we'll see. So let's first learn the first couple of words of the Shulchan Aruch. And we're going to try to understand these halachas the way that Talmid Chacham should understand them, to try to learn them properly. So now we're taking a break from Pnimiyas HaTorah, and we're going to get back to our meat and potatoes of who we are and learn Shulchan Aruch and Nosei Kelim. The Mechaber writes, also Lahaitzi Shechva Zer Levatola. It is forbidden to spill seed. Levatola. We'll talk about that means Levatola. And then there's a couple of pages that you have. I don't even know if I sent the picture. I didn't send the picture of all of them. It continues with the words. Oh, I don't think I sent the picture of that. V'oven zeh chomer mikol aver shebetar. You didn't get that page, right? V'oven zeh chomer mikol aver shebetar. I don't think I photographed that the last page. Probably I was scared to do that. Okay. So these are the first words of the Shulchan Aruch. I'll send you the page right afterwards. Mechaber begins Siman Chav Gimel with the Isser also Lahitzi Sheikh Vazer Levatala. Then it's just 2 big pages after that you have just filled with commentary. 3 pages just of commentary. And then the Shulchan Aruch continues, and I did not notice that. I didn't send it to you. I'll send it to you right after we hang up. V'oven zeh chomer mikol aveis shebetayrah. And in a very uncharacteristic way, the Shulchan Aruch does, that's not the end of the Sif, but that's the end of where we're going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks. In a very uncharacteristic way, the Mechaber mentions the severity of this Isser, of this Chait. Here again is where the Beis Yosef, the Mekubal, is creeping into Shulchan Aruch. Here you see the Kabbalist in Shulchan Aruch, where he says, what you don't have in front of you, I'm sorry, V'oven zeh chomer mikol averis shebetayr. And this avera is chomer mikol averis shebetayr. Now, when a person who's been learning Gemara and Shulchan Aruch his whole life, like almost everybody here on the, certainly people I'm looking at right now, and everybody else on this, have been learning Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, and be learning Shulchan Aruch all of our lives, our adult lives. So The first question is, Mino Hani Mili. Mino Hani Mili. We were saying to the Beis Yosef Rebbe, where did you get that from? First of all, where is this Isser? The only thing I can remember the Talmud Chacham or the Yeshiva Bacher is saying is there's a mice in Bereishis with Erva Einan. It's a strange mice. Rebbe skipped it in Yeshiva. We all went home and read it in the Some Say No English. That's what was available 50 years ago. Where you know that there were some very, very strange translations that I've mentioned very often over the years. Where the Sansino translation in the Gemara, Sansino Gemara for fruit, there was orla, that it was uncircumcised fruit. And all of us asked each other, there must be something that we were missing about fruit. Because how could circumcised, or how does it mean that fruit is uncircumcised? Because orla, Sansino translated as uncircumcised fruit. So we went home after reading about Erva Einein, and we were learning Parashas V'yeshev. So Rebbe was translating for us. We were learning the parasha, and by Erev Einin he just said it in Lashon HaKodesh, and then we just skipped and we went ahead. There was no teaching for the parasha of Erev Einin. Now, as kids in yeshiva, that was, of course, that those were the only parashas we cared about, were the ones that Rebbe didn't translate. The ones that he translated, like Bereishis Bar Elokim, didn't interest us. Or Mechalala Mois Yumas didn't interest us. But when it says Be'er V'Einin, that sounds interesting. Yehuda and Tomar, that sounds interesting. Be'er V'Einin sounds interesting. But where do you see this? Nisa Deraisa. Now, as far as Gilei Arayis, that everybody knows. Okay, we say that we have complete parashiyos of Isurei Arayis. But if I'm not bothering anybody, I'm not dealing with one of those people, or chalila, not just people, but chayis, behemoths. If I'm not Isaac with anybody else or anything else, and it's just myself, what's minohanimili? Minohanimili, where do you see such a thing? That, number one, where do you see that it's nisatayra? Where does it say there's nisatayra like that? All I know is that it says the parish of Arayis. We laid it on Yom Kippur. But where do you see that there's and the reason we laid it on Yom Kippur is because of this tikkun that we're talking about. And where do you see such a thing besides the parish of Arayis, that a person by himself that there's nisatayra? That's Aleph. And based that the Mechaber himself says, "Over in Zechomer Mikol Aver Shabbatayr." What's the makor of that? So the Be'er HaGoyle brings with Sefer Zohar Parshas VeYeshev. VeYeshev and in VeYichi. You know how every parent has like one pasuk in the whole Torah that's in yellow highlight is Kabedes Avicha Vesimecha, and he always shows that to his kids, right? That's like the pasuk that has yellow highlight. So every yeshiva bach is highlighted Zohar is in Vayeshev and Vayechi. There's no tshuva. There's no tikkun. It's Chet Chamur, Chet Hayadua. So Menachani Mili. So where does this come from? Why is it Aser? Who says it's Aser? Deraisa, Derabbanan? If it was Deraisa, could you please show me where it's in Chumash? Could you show me where it's in the Rambam? Could you show me where it's in the Chinuch? The Rambam was not, or didn't show himself at least to be a Mekubal. That's for sure not. There's a lot of speculation about that. It's not important for now. But certainly, he didn't show that he was a Mekubal in any obvious way. We don't find the Rambam, the children that he is talking. You have to mute yourselves, Chav, the kids talking. The Rambam doesn't say doesn't speak about being chet chamur ma'od. We'll see what the Rambam says. The Rambam does bring the Gemara, but he certainly doesn't bring the Zohar. But the Shulchan Aruch brings the Zohar over here. And that's the only makar that's found in the Bir HaGoyla. For those words, it's on the page you don't have. For ovens at Chomer b'kol aver shebetorah, the only makar that the Bir HaGoyla brings is Zohar Vayeshev and Zohar Vayechi. Thus is thus.